Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Nick Agar-Johnson. He is the host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast and editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. On the program, we recap the 2023 in Denver Nuggets NBA Finals run. We also discuss Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, what's next for the Nuggets, and more. Nick is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Hello, this is the BR Telco operator. How can I assist you today?
Hey, can you tell me why I should bank at BR Telco?
Well, I don't mean to spin the street yarn, but you'd be a monkey's uncle not to bank with us. We do everything the big banks do, plus we've been in the community for over 85 years and your money stays here in the community, not Wall Street. Any other questions?
Sure, yeah. Could you connect me with Anita Bass, please?
I'm not falling for that one again.
Find out all the reasons you should get to know Telco at brtelco.org. Federally insured by NCUA.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
As we approach a minute remaining, Nuggets clinging to a one-point lead. Murray lobbed it up top to Jokic, five to shoot. Jokic backs in, drives inside, layup, won't go. Gordon's tip is no good. Struce the rebound. 45 seconds remaining.
This is where you want to look to for one if you can, if you get a good one.
Lowry picked up by Gordon. Murray is on Butler. Jimmy Butler on the drive, gets inside, stops. Stolen by Caldwell Pope. And a foul with 24.7 remaining. Inside to Butler. Gordon guards him. Duncan Robinson looking for it. Caldwell Pope pokes it away. Butler hoists up a three. Off the mark. Brown the rebound. They've got a foul and they do. With 14.3 remaining.
You don't need a three in that situation.
Lowry searching. Looking. Finds Struce back to Lowry. There it is. Three-pointer. Won't go. Rebound called on Pope. They're not going to foul. The Heat will let it play out. It's over. At last, the long wait is over. After 47 years, the Denver Nuggets can finally call themselves NBA champions. There's such joy right now in the Mile High City. The first title in franchise history. Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets win it all.
This is the first Finals MVP trophy that we're giving out since Bill Russell's passing. And he'd be incredibly pleased. It's another center. This year's Bill Russell Finals MVP goes to Nikola Jokic.
You know, as we said, really one really good thing. We are not winning for ourselves. We are winning for the guy next to us, and that's why this is even more. Because I was winning for Jamal. Jamal was winning for Adrian. That's how it goes, you know. And this is a great group of people, a great group of teammates. Like I said, from the family Kroenke to the Sparky and Gene, everything this year was amazing. You know, we believe in each other, the relationship that we had. Yes, trophies and something, but I think we had some relationship that is going to be long, like even after me finish career.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody. That audio was courtesy of the NBA, the National Basketball Association, ABC, ESPN, and the Walt Disney Company. And you heard in the first soundbite, that was Mike Breen, Mark Jackson, and Jeff Van Gundy giving the call of the deciding Game 5, the finale in the 2023 NBA Finals, with the Denver Nuggets winning their first NBA championship in the franchise's history. Matter of fact, in the 47 years since they've been in the NBA, it's been a long time coming, but it's definitely worth the wait. The Nuggets, after the 47-year wait, it's officially over with. The Denver Nuggets are the 2023 NBA champions. And you heard Commissioner Adam Silver talking to the Bill Russell NBA Finals MVP, Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic. And Nikola was certainly appreciative to the Kroenkes, specifically Stan Kroenke, who is the owner of the Denver Nuggets, and of course talking about teammates such as Jamal Murray, his head coach Michael Malone, and just Nikola's just grateful for this opportunity and on this fantastic season. To talk more about this Nuggets NBA Finals run and also some key components for the Denver Nuggets, let's welcome him back to the program. Very knowledgeable as always, and always giving his takes on many things related to the NBA. He's the host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and a writer for hashtag basketball and Nets Republic, Nick Agar-Johnson. Hey, Nick, welcome back to the program, my man.
Ed, thank you so much for having me back on the program. What an NBA season this has been, and what a wild ride it's been from start to finish for the Denver Nuggets. Really exciting finals, maybe, you know, a few games shorter than some would have liked, but obviously a great moment for Denver and their fans, and really happy to be back on the program to talk about it with you.
Awesome, man. I definitely agree with those words that you said. And again, as always, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Nick, we talked about the Denver Nuggets all season long, and I've said it, and even you shared some sentiments from what I said when I said this. The Denver Nuggets were the most disrespected and the most underrated team in the NBA this season, and especially even being a number one seed in the Western Conference, they still didn't have that respect, but they played with so much depth, with so much ferociousness, and they just clicked on all cylinders on both ends of the ball. How would you describe not just this NBA Finals run, but just this whole Denver Nuggets season that just passed?
I mean, I think this whole Denver Nuggets season has, in a lot of ways, been a statement about this team. You know, you mentioned already this is a team that had not garnered the respect that it deserved. I think part of that was maybe people were disappointed with, you know, some of the somewhat early exits after they've been, you know, near the top of the Western Conference for, you know, basically the last 5 years since Nikola Jokic became a regular part of the starting lineup. But I mean, with this year's team, it really just felt to me like they added a couple of pieces that they really needed, and they had a, you know, career year from Aaron Gordon, which really helped things out, and ultimately what it all boiled down to was that Nikola Jokic was Nikola Jokic, as he has been, you know, basically since he got that starting job in Denver, but the main thing was, you know, Jamal Murray was healthy, and that just allowed the rest of the roster to coalesce so well. And, you know, with Jokic running the show and with Jamal Murray, you know, taking over in some moments as, you know, absolute offensive flamethrower, this was a team that, you know, had put together a lot of these pieces already, but hadn't quite gotten the credit for it. And, you know, this year they were the number one seed, but, you know, they weren't by a particularly wide margin. This wasn't a 60-win team, right? This was a 53-win team, but they proved everybody who doubted them wrong. And, you know, they steamrolled through these playoffs. They only lost four games the entire playoffs, and, you know, swept a series as well and won the finals in five games. This was a team that, you know, I think Bruce Brown was really an excellent piece to sort of help a lot of the other pieces on the roster coalesce, but ultimately a lot of the pieces were already there, and it was just everybody being healthy and everybody clicking at the same time.
Absolutely. And as they say, that timing is always perfect. And especially when you get, as you mentioned about Jamal Murray being healthy and Nikola doing his thing. And when you have all of the right ingredients coming together, man, that is a recipe for success. And that's what the Denver Nuggets did throughout the course of this season. All right, let's talk now specifically about this Denver Nuggets NBA Finals run. And I tell you one thing, they had depth and they had versatility really from top to bottom. When I talk about depth, I want to start off talking about Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown was sensational, specifically in game four, where he scored 21 points. And then he was also responsible for sealing the deal for the Nuggets in game five to win the championship. Give me your thoughts on Bruce and his play in this NBA Finals run.
So I covered Bruce Lee when he was a member of the Brooklyn Nets for a couple of years, and it is just so wonderful to watch him blossom on this Denver Nuggets squad and be that X factor that they really needed in these playoffs. You know, they had their starting lineup healthy, so, you know, all of the playoff games they played, right, Jokic, Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Michael Porter Jr. as the starting lineup. You know, Bruce Brown was the sixth man that really helped everything come together. He was great finishing around the basket. You know, he was more consistent in a lot of ways from three-point range than he's been at times throughout his career. And he had that great game four, as you mentioned, that, you know, really helped carry Denver over the line in that one. And, yeah, it's great to watch him be able to take the full advantage of his incredibly interesting, varied sort of skill set and have it mesh so perfectly as the first guy off the bench for this Nugget squad in the playoff run.
All right, and you mentioned his name earlier, and this is the next person I want to talk about, and that's KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Now, Nick, we know that KCP had championship experience winning a title in the bubble as a member of the Los Angeles Lakers, and then after that was traded to the Washington Wizards, and that situation didn't work out well for him, one and done in Washington, and then after that makes his way with the Denver Nuggets, and he was big specifically on the defensive side, especially in games four and in games five. Just give me your thoughts on KCP's play during the NBA Finals.
Yeah, so with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's always been a really top-notch defender. I mean, basically since, you know, year two or three in the NBA, he's been a really, really top-tier wing guard defender. But, you know, I think a lot of what he showed in these playoffs that was huge is he was also a lot more offensively consistent. You know, he's had, like you mentioned, you know, that bubble run with the Lakers. You know, he's had times when he's been more on with his shot than off. But, you know, this playoff run and this season in Denver, I mean, you know, he shot a career-high three-point percentage this season for the Denver Nuggets. And, you know, part of that is the space that he got to play with in Denver that, you know, he didn't quite have the same sort of spacing around him in Washington as he did for the Denver Nuggets. But, you know, he's always been a really, you know, top-tier defender, and he's had some struggles being consistent offensively, but that wasn't the case at all in these playoffs. He came up huge for them time and time again, and, you know, the defense is always going to be an element with him, but for him to be able to bring the consistent offensive punch that he did, that was a huge boost for the Nuggets as well.
Absolutely, and somebody that brought a punch to the Nuggets this year, but in a different kind of way in terms of the experience and leadership skills, is Jeff Green. You know, Nick, Jeff has been a journeyman throughout the NBA, going from team to team, spending several years with teams, and then he would spend 1 year with the team. I mean, he's really been a journeyman, but he's also been one of the most consistent players in the NBA. Give me your thoughts on Jeff and his run in the NBA Finals and finally getting over that hump of winning his first championship.
I am so incredibly happy for Jeff Green. He's also someone who I covered during his year in Brooklyn, where he was just absolutely a joy to cover. And, you know, anytime he had one of those moments where, you know, he would sort of turn back the clock in a way on a dunk, he still somehow manages to be one of the most wild forward athletes in the NBA, despite his, you know, getting up there in terms of NBA years. And, you know, for someone who a decade ago, everybody in the NBA was incredibly worried about not just, you know, his basketball career, but his life after he had a really serious heart condition, you know, with the Celtics that caused him to miss an entire season. It's been wonderful that he got to have the career that he's had since then, that hasn't come back to bother him in any sort of way. And now, finally, after his long run in the NBA, I mean, this is a guy who played his first year in the league for the Seattle Supersonics, right? Now he's finally able to call himself an NBA champion, and I'm just incredibly happy for him.
Absolutely, and I'm also happy for another person on this Nuggets roster, DeAndre Jordan. You know, Nick, we've come a long way from the days of DeAndre alongside Chris Paul and Blake Griffin during the whole Lob City era with the Los Angeles Clippers, and then after that he bounced around with Dallas, the Knicks. You covered him when he was a member of the Brooklyn Nets, then with the Lakers, short stint in Philly, And now with the Denver Nuggets, he finally wins an NBA championship. I know DeAndre didn't really play much throughout the playoffs, but just give me your thoughts on DeAndre winning that first championship.
I am sure that you and I are not the only people who are happy for DeAndre Jordan right now. He is consistently referred to as one of the best teammates in the NBA, one of the most beloved teammates in the NBA. And, you know, he didn't get that much of a role in terms of minutes played, but, you know, I am more than willing to bet that DeAndre Jordan was huge in terms of keeping the team together behind the scenes, you know, being a real positive influence in the locker room. And, you know, maybe he didn't get all that much playing time in terms of, you know, actually being on the court during this playoff run. But, you know, he's someone who consistently every single year you hear stories about just how wonderful of a teammate he is, how all his teammates adore him. And so I'm sure that we are not the only people that are happy that DeAndre Jordan has won an NBA championship. I'm sure that there are many of his former teammates and many of the fans of teams that he used to play for that are very happy to see him get a ring.
Absolutely. And speaking of somebody that's very happy to not only win a championship, but especially in his rookie year, Christian Brown. Game three was really all about Christian Brown. Christian came in off the bench, and we talked about X factors, and Christian was the X factor in game three. So, Nick, his rookie year, he wins his first NBA championship. And then also the year before that, he wound up winning a national championship at the University of Kansas. So certainly, you know, Christian, within a year and a half, he's really already racked up some major accomplishments and some accolades. Give me your thoughts on Christian in this NBA Finals run.
I mean, he's not quite Magic Johnson in terms of, you know, winning the NCAA championship and then winning the NBA championship the next year. But, I mean, this is just remarkable for him to have gone from being, you know, a really critical player to that Kansas team to right away finding a way to fit into an NBA rotation. You know, a lot of it just being, you know, opportunistic on offense, taking advantage of the chances when he got them. And, you know, as you mentioned, in that one game, he really, you know, he was a huge force for them off the bench. And it's the kind of thing where, man, someone really doled out a lot of luck Christian Brown's way when it came to, you know, selecting the right teams to end up on, because back-to-back from the Kansas National Championship to winning a championship with the Nuggets in his rookie year, that's got to feel pretty great for him.
Absolutely, and he's definitely on cloud nine right now. As you said, we talked about it, going from a national championship to winning an NBA championship. Truly amazing. And somebody that's gone through their struggles, we talked about Jeff Green being a journeyman. We talked about also DeAndre Jordan having his status as a journeyman, but someone that's went through their journey in a different kind of way, Michael Porter Jr., 3 back surgeries in 5 years. Man, he has really gone through it, but he stayed healthy this year for the most part, and he didn't find much of his shot in this NBA Finals run. However, game five, and that was the MPJ. I would say that was the game where he really stepped it up and got going, and really this was the game where the shooting, not only was the shots were going through for him, but most importantly, just he was aggressive in terms of going to the basket. Give me your thoughts on MPJ and his finals run.
I gotta say, I am remarkably impressed by Michael Porter Jr. as a basketball player, you know, not just because he came back from all the injury struggles that you mentioned, and, you know, he was talking at one point about the severe foot brace that he essentially is probably going to have to wear for the rest of his career just due to all the injuries he's, you know, accumulated throughout the years. But really, biggest credit to him in my mind is he came into the league as someone who it would be kind to call him an indifferent defender. And, you know, he really has turned himself into someone who can be a positive contributing piece to an NBA defense, which, given the fact that he came into the league with that not exactly, you know, being a high watermark for him, combined with the fact that he's had all these health struggles that he's had over the years, it is a real credit to him that he's transformed himself into the defensive piece that he has. And, you know, he did have a better offensive game in terms of, you know, being more aggressive, trying to get his shots in that, you know, very slow, grinded out, sort of a little bit ugly game five of the finals. But for me, I think a lot of it was his shot wasn't falling, but he made up for it by just absolutely demolishing the glass, you know, just grabbing rebounds left and right, but also putting in the effort on defense in a way that it didn't seem entirely certain that he would coming into the NBA. And he's really transformed himself into a much better player on that end of the floor, too. His undying credit.
Absolutely. And again, he's gone through his struggles, but hey, it was definitely all well worth it because now he has an NBA championship. And speaking of a player, Nick, that has been going through it for quite some time, and certainly Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon, we know about him playing above the rim many years, being a double-double guy for the Orlando Magic. We talked about it a while back on the show, how him and Zach LaVine had one of the great slam dunk contests, the showdowns of all time. Aaron was robbed of that. Zach won that slam dunk contest. But nevertheless, 7 years in Orlando, 2 years ago, the trade deadline happened. He comes to the Denver Nuggets, and man, what an immediate impact he made in this series, not just on the offensive side, whether it be being aggressive by getting points in the paint or knocking down some big three-pointers, and also the rebounding, and also on the defensive side as well. Give me Aaron and his play in the NBA Finals.
I genuinely don't think that the Nuggets team wins this NBA championship if they don't make that trade for Aaron Gordon. He is such a huge ballast for their defense. I mean, this is a team that, you know, was 15th out of 30 teams in defensive rating during the regular season. And, you know, usually when you're talking about championship teams, they're far more often in the top 10 on defense than they are in the top 10 on offense. But, you know, this was a team that ultimately their offense was spectacular and their defense just had to be good enough. And a huge part of the reason why their defense was good enough was Aaron Gordon, his physicality, his ability to switch across multiple positions, his relentless effort on the defensive end, in addition to being that absolute menace around the basket that he's always been on the offensive end of the floor. I don't think that this team works anywhere near as well as it does without Aaron Gordon in the fold, and I don't think they win the championship if they don't have him to get the defense to a point where it was good enough to allow their offense to shine.
I totally agree with that, Nick. Aaron Gordon was really the X factor in all of this. I mean, he made some big shots, got some key offensive rebounds. I mean, when you're going up against a guy like Bam Adebayo, you know Bam commands a presence in that paint. So certainly Aaron was somebody that held his own in the trenches on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. I want to talk just about Michael Malone. I know you know about Coach Malone very well. During his time, head coach of the Sacramento Kings, 1 year out of there, and the Denver Nuggets wind up signing him. And as they say, the rest is history. And since he's been with the Nuggets and since 2015, he's done a great job. I mean, with Nikola and Jamal and also putting the right parts together. Of course, we talked about with the Aaron Gordon trade and also a rookie like Christian Brown, and especially this playoff run was so dominant. Give me your thoughts on Coach Malone and his time so far with the Nuggets.
I mean, I'm incredibly happy for Coach Malone, who deserved a much longer and much kinder, in terms of the, you know, general surrounding context that he had, run in Sacramento. You know, the situation that ended his coaching career in Sacramento was entirely not his own fault, and I am still, as you may have gathered, a little bit annoyed by how that particular process went down, but ultimately it was clearly for the best for Michael Malone himself. You know, now he's a NBA championship-winning coach. He turned this Nuggets team from a team that won 30 games the year before he joined, you know, got them up to the 10th seed in the West, then, you know, 2 years as the 9th seed, and ever since then they've been a playoff team. And, you know, he has been the steady rock for this team for quite a while now. He has one of the longest coaching tenures in the league. Off the top of my head, I believe he's third behind Greg Popovich and Eric Spoelstra in terms of tenure as a head coach for a team. And, you know, ultimately, Denver was patient with Michael Malone as a coach in a way that Sacramento was not. And, you know, clearly he and the team, you know, both benefited from the fact that they gave him that extended leash that the Kings never gave him. And he proved that he can be a championship caliber coach. And he, you know, led this team to repeated playoff success before this year. And now he has a championship ring and no one will ever be able to take that away from him.
Absolutely. And certainly Coach Malone has been so instrumental in the development of not just with Nikola Jokic, as you've heard in post-game press conferences, but also about Jamal Murray and really he made a big presence in Jamal's life during the whole ACL injury that had taken place, and Jamal was out for the year, and just really giving him words of encouragement. And certainly Coach Malone has done an amazing job thus far being in Denver. And, of course, we reap the benefits of winning an NBA championship. And let's stay just in management for a moment. The general manager of the team, Calvin Booth. Calvin credited for making the Aaron Gordon deal happen. Also, Nikola. Also, with, you know, having Nikola and Jamal already in the fold, but with the Aaron Gordon trade, that's when things really got going for the Nuggets. Just give me your thoughts on Calvin and the season that he's had as the general manager of the Nuggets.
Yeah, so Calvin has been a part of the Denver Nuggets front office for quite a while now, but this was his first season as, you know, the man in the head chair, essentially, after Tim Connelly departed the team. And, I mean, you know, he ended up winning them an NBA championship, right? And, I mean, you mentioned the Aaron Gordon deal, that he was instrumental in, you know, making that happen. I mean, his first-round draft pick as the head executive was Christian Brown, who, as we already talked about, you know, played a quite sizable role in the playoffs and in the NBA finals for a rookie. I mean, you know, there's a lot of building that took place to get the Denver Nuggets to this particular moment, and Calvin Booth was a huge part of that, you know, as the second in command for most of that time. But to win an NBA championship in your first year in the head seat as the head executive, and to have the first player that you drafted be a pretty key contributing part in year one, that's got to feel pretty great for Calvin Booth. So I'm sure he's riding high right now.
Absolutely, and big ups to Calvin and what he's done in a short amount of time in Nuggets management. And now I want to talk about somebody, we mentioned his name earlier, and somebody that was destined for greatness after only playing 1 year at the University of Kentucky, entering the NBA draft. And we saw flashes of Jamal Murray. We saw flashes of the greatness and the potential. And then, of course, people talked about the bubble and how Murray really came alive in the bubble. And then the following year, the ACL injury, out for the year. We talked about how Coach Michael Malone was a wonderful presence, one of the people in his life that was spreading positivity, giving him positivity, giving him positive notes and words of encouragement, and it all paid off because now Jamal back from the injury, and he shined bright in the playoffs, making big shots. Give me your thoughts on Jamal and his play during the NBA Finals run.
So Jamal in the NBA Finals was not quite as ridiculous as he was during the Nuggets bubble run, but, I mean, he was the second guy, and there were times when Nikola Jokic, who, you know, has always been someone who's been more than happy to give up the primary scoring responsibilities to someone else, you know, he gave Jamal the ball and let Jamal cook. And, you know, Jamal not only was a huge scoring force for the Nuggets in this playoffs, but he also averaged 10 assists per game in the finals, which was actually more than Jokic did in the finals. You know, Miami tried to turn Jokic into a scorer for a few games, and, you know, that hurt his assist numbers, certainly didn't hurt his scoring totals. But with Jamal, I mean, he's someone who has consistently elevated his play from the regular season to the playoffs. I mean, you know, his first year in the playoffs, 2018-19, 18 points during the regular season, 21 points during the playoffs. That bubble run, 18.5 points during the regular season, 26.5 points during the playoffs. And then, again, this year he cracked the 20-point-per-game scoring barrier after coming back from that ACL injury. And then 26 points again in the playoffs, 26 points per game. You know, this is someone who maybe he hasn't, you know, made an all-star game or, you know, won an all-NBA berth, but he's proven himself as the clear second-best player on a team that just won a championship. And, you know, barring further health concerns from him, I would be stunned if he's not in much heavier all-star consideration next year and going forward than he was this past year, because in a lot of ways he was kind of, you know, a forgotten man in the sense that, you know, he missed that time with the ACL injury, you know, missed all of last season after signing that massive contract extension, and, you know, talks are flying around of, oh, you know, is he worth it? Is he worth that big deal? Did Denver handicap themselves financially by signing Jamal Murray to that deal? And the answer is, they wouldn't have won the title without Jamal Murray being the second guy to Nikola Jokic. And, you know, it makes a big difference when he's healthy and able to play in the playoffs, as, you know, we saw in the bubble and as we saw this season as well.
Yeah, I always knew when Jamal Murray was drafted out of Kentucky, Nick, that he was going to be a star. And now, as you said, pending how healthy he is. He has the potential to be a superstar and could make his first All-Star team. But, man, Jamal Murray was certainly solid in this finals run. And speaking of being solid, you know, every team has to have a cornerstone. Every team has to have that franchise player. And it's him. It's the Joker, Nikola Jokic. And Nikola, I mean, what can you say about him? Just he dominated offensively. The Miami Heat just had no answers for him. They couldn't stop him. They couldn't neutralize him. The Joker was just on point. Give me your thoughts on Nikola and his NBA Finals run.
I mean, he just had a spectacular, magical run, not just in the finals, but the entire playoffs, start to finish. I mean, my goodness, he led the entire playoffs in scoring, in rebounding, and in assists. And then, you know, in the finals, averaging 30 points a game, you know, 7 assists per game, you know, double-double with his rebounds. I mean, he was a force to be reckoned with in the finals, as he has been for many, many years now. But, you know, a lot of his previous great playoff performances sort of got lost in the shuffle of them, you know, losing in series where they were overmatched. You know, they lost to the eventual champion Lakers in the bubble run, but Nikola Jokic was, you know, maybe not as nuclear hot as Jamal Murray, but he was spectacular in those playoffs. He was, you know, excellent for them in the playoffs the year before, and, you know, he really put up a valiant effort last season to, you know, even take a game off the eventual champion Golden State Warriors with Jamal Murray out of the picture. I mean, he had yet another spectacular run, but unlike his previous spectacular runs, which people were way too quick to discount, in my opinion, based on the fact that, you know, they didn't end up winning the title, or, you know, the expectation that, oh, he was MVP, so he has to win the title. And then, of course, ironically enough, this is the year, you know, in the last three that he isn't given the MVP, and this is the year that he and the Nuggets march to the finals win. But again, absolutely magical run for him, absolutely magical run for the team, and none of this works without him. I mean, you know, I've said that this team wouldn't have won the title without Aaron Gordon. I fully meant that. I said this team wouldn't have won the title without Jamal Murray. I fully meant that. None of this works at all without Nikola Jokic from start to finish on the offensive end. And he's gotten much better on the defensive end to the point where, you know, he's providing solid contributions on that end in addition to being one of the best offensive players we've ever seen.
I want to stay just with Nikola for a moment. We've seen him at post-game press conferences, and he has a very dry but a very wonderful sense of humor, and he's someone that has hinted at things. He said that basketball is a job, but it's not his life. What do you see Nikola in his future in terms of playing in the NBA? Do you see him playing maybe another 10 years, or do you see him playing maybe 3 to 5? What do you see Nikola in the mix of all of this?
It's interesting because on the one hand, he does, you know, give off this very nonchalant sort of personality about, you know, how basketball is just a job, all of that. On the other hand, he also has a reputation as one of the hardest working players in the league. And, you know, with him, I think that he will want to stick around for another, you know, 7 or 8 years unless he gets hurt. I think it's the kind of thing where if he's faced with a choice between, you know, say you play, you know, another 10 years, but, you know, you're going to get arthritis in your foot 5 years after you retire and you're going to, you know, walk with a limp for the rest of your life, I think in that situation he might say, you know what, I'm happy to retire at the age of 32 and go back home to Serbia, right? But I think that he, you know, despite the sort of nonchalant, you know, responses that he gives sometimes to particular lines of questions, you know, regarding his investment, I think he's, you know, someone who clearly, you know, based on everything that comes out about how hard he works, is someone who really does care a whole lot about the game of basketball. And, you know, he really does clearly care a whole lot about his teammates in a way that he isn't as flippant about as he is about, you know, calling basketball a job. But I think it'll be the kind of thing where he'll want to keep playing, you know, for another decade or so. But if there's any sort of health concern, I could definitely see him saying, no, I'm going to hang it up at 33 rather than, you know, deal with a bad back for the rest of my life.
I want to stay just with Nikola for a moment. You know, Nick, there's a trend that we've been seeing for the last decade and a half, maybe two decades or so, with the explosion of foreign players in the NBA. We've seen it with Giannis Antetokounmpo. We've seen it with Joel Embiid. And we're seeing it with Nikola Jokic. And the future is now with Victor Wembanyama. In your opinion, Nick, what makes foreign-born players so special, and what does it mean for the future of the NBA?
I think, honestly, a lot of it is just that basketball is a much more global sport than it was, you know, 30, 20, even 10 years ago. I mean, you know, there's been conversation upon conversation about how, you know, 31 years ago, in a lot of ways, the Dream Team, you know, the 1992 Barcelona Dream Team brought basketball to the world. And I think a lot of what we're seeing with the influx of these foreign stars and with the very soon impending influx of Victor Wembanyama to the league, you know, I think a lot of that is just that the game has become far more global than it had ever been before. I mean, you know, Joel Embiid grew up playing soccer and volleyball. He probably wouldn't have been a basketball player if not for the fact that, you know, basketball without borders camps had been spreading throughout Africa and throughout, you know, Cameroon. And it was, you know, he was basically brought in by Luke Mbah-Mute, who was a former NBA player who, you know, saw this 6'10 gangly 15-year-old and said, this guy can be a real NBA player. And now, you know, he's the MVP of the league, right? I think it's really just due to the expansion of the NBA. You know, it's been a global game for quite a while, but I think there's really been an explosion, particularly in the last 10 years with social media. I mean, Nikola Jokic himself has said that a lot of his early basketball studying of, you know, a lot of his early NBA watching experiences were just watching games on YouTube. I think that the globalization of the game has opened up a lot of avenues for players in, you know, Serbia has always been a basketball hotbed. Joel Embiid might not have been scouted as a potential NBA player if not for Luka Mbah-Mute, and Luka Mbah-Mute might not have been an NBA player if not for the Barcelona Dream Team spreading the game to the world. So I think a lot of it is not anything to do particularly with foreign players or American players, as much as it is just that more kids around the world are getting an opportunity to grow up playing basketball. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. I think that's really good for the NBA just to continue to increase the awareness and to increase the reach of the game. And it's wonderful. And we saw it before Jokic and Embiid and Giannis. We saw it in spurts with Hakeem Olajuwon. And then we saw it with Tim Duncan being from the U.S. Virgin Islands. And then we also saw it with Manu Ginobili coming from Argentina, Tony Parker being from France. Also the Gasol brothers, Pau and Mark representing Spain, Ricky Rubio representing Spain, Dikembe Mutombo representing Africa, specifically the Democratic Republic of Congo, and then even in the 80s with Manu Bol representing South Sudan. So certainly the NBA had global reach, and like you were saying, Nick, with the Dream Team in 92 in Barcelona, it has just expanded and has continued to expand, and that's great for the game. And we were talking about Nikola Jokic, and I want to stay just with Nikola and his teammate, Jamal Murray. These two gentlemen, this duo was dynamic in this NBA Finals run, specifically in Game 3 when they became the first duo in NBA history to each record a 30-point triple-double. That is outstanding. I want to ask you about the future of this duo between Jokic and Murray. We've seen great duos in the NBA with the likes of Jordan and Pippen, also with Bird and McHale. We've also seen it with Kobe and Shaq. And it's just been so many great duos, and of course Magic and Kareem. But where can Jokic and Murray be in terms of being amongst those dynamic duos?
I think it's a combination of things. I think they're off to a great start, but I think they've also got a long way to go. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, those iconic combos, right, like Jordan Pippen, Bird McHale, you know, there was a lot of, I mean, those are all, you know, both Hall of Fame players. And, you know, while Jamal Murray has had spectacular moments in his career, I'm not quite sure he's shown that he's on a Hall of Fame path just yet. So what I think, you know, for the future of the next 3 years, I think will determine a lot of how we see this duo going forward. I mean, if the Nuggets repeat as champs next season and Jamal Murray gets that All-Star berth and gets an All-NBA berth, you know, then then it'll start trending, I think, more in the direction of, okay, you know, this is a duo that might end up ranking up there with the all-time greats. I think they need, you know, probably, honestly, given the duos that you named there, they'd probably need to get another two titles to I think, be in that mix. But ultimately, I think, you know, again, Jamal Murray's had spectacular moments. He had his real struggles with injury, but he's not quite on a Hall of Fame path yet in my mind, but he could definitely get there. And, you know, this year was obviously a huge step in that direction. And, you know, another couple great years from him, you know, maybe, you know, a few really great healthy seasons back to back to back with a Nuggets championship somewhere in the next 3 years. Then I think we're starting to see this duo as, you know, a duo that can compete with some of the all-time great duos, but I don't think we're there quite yet.
You know what, Nick, there was another duo that I failed to mention, and that's Karl Malone and John Stockton. So Malone and Stockton, that was another great duo in Utah. And certainly the potential is there for Nikola and Jamal to make things happen. But as you said, only time will tell, and of course, it's going to fall upon the health of both of these gentlemen. So now, Nick, it's official. The Denver Nuggets are the 2023 NBA champions. So in your opinion, what's next for the Nuggets going forward? What do you see them going next season? Do you see them repeating maybe a dynasty, or do you see other teams in the West giving them a run for their money?
I think that the Nuggets have proven a lot this year. I think that they will go into next season as the title favorites, but I also think that this year in a lot of ways was a lot more up in the air in terms of the eventual champion, basically right up until the Nuggets, you know, steamrolled the Heat in the finals, right? I mean, this was, you know, a year when, you know, start out the year seeming like, oh, the Bucks are the team to beat because the defending champion Warriors are scuffling, and you know, Boston was red hot for a while to start the year, and then they fell back a bit. And, you know, on the Western Conference side, I mean, you know, Memphis, we've talked quite a bit about, you know, John Morant and his struggles, but, you know, they as a team also had up and down throughout the year. This was a year that felt kind of wide open for a team to claim, you know, to claim the crown, and Denver claimed the crown pretty definitively. So, you know, I think in terms of going forward, they really need to bring Bruce Brown back, as we already talked about. I think he was a huge, huge part of the piece, a huge piece of the puzzle for the Nuggets this season. It's interesting because I think that the Nuggets are going to be the heavy favorites going into next year, but, you know, I also feel like 2-3 years from now, you know, the league could be wide open again. It could be a situation where, you know, the Nuggets prove themselves this year, but maybe next year, you know, they scuffle a bit. You know, maybe Jamal Murray has injury struggles again. You know, maybe Jokic has injury struggles for essentially the first time in his career, right? It could be a situation where the Nuggets take a step back, but I would say they're the heavy favorites heading into next season, but I'm not quite sure I think they're going to run off a dynasty just yet.
You know what, the amazing thing about professional sports is that when you win a championship, it's a blessing. It can also be a curse. And as you mentioned about, we talked about Bruce Brown, and he has that player option where he, if he decides to come back, that could pay off big dividends for the Nuggets. But it's always tough to win in professional sports, especially in the NBA. And certainly it's going to be a tough task, but Denver, no longer the hunter, they're now the hunted, and they are the 2023 NBA champions. And you heard it from him, he's Nick Agar-Johnson. He is the host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, and he's also an editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Again, Nick, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what's going on over at No Ceilings, Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic.
With Nets Republic, there's a lot of WA and NWSL coverage going on with Liberty and Gotham FC now that the Nets are no longer in season. So if you're a WNBA fan or NWSL fan, definitely be sure to check out the Nets Republic coverage of those leagues. And Hashtag Basketball, you know, find at hashtagbasketball.com, at #HashtagBasketball on socials. You know, a lot of the fantasy tools are down, of course, because the NBA season is no longer running, but definitely, if you're a fantasy basketball player or a fantasy sports player in general, there's no better place to check out than Hashtag Basketball or any of the other Hashtag Sports fantasy websites. and then No Ceilings Substack. So feel free to go to nofeelingsnba.com and subscribe to the Substack and get.
Absolutely. And tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as No Ceilings. Also, hashtag basketball and Nets Republic.
Absolutely. So you can find me on Twitter at NBA Johnson. I post all of my work on my Twitter feed. So if you want to check out my work, you can go check it out there. And, of course, No Ceilings NBA, at No Ceilings NBA on socials, No Ceilings TV on YouTube. And then for hashtag basketball, hash E basketball, and then Nets Republic at Nets Republic.
You heard it from him. He is Nick Agar Johnson. Great as always, giving us the information related to the NBA. Check him out. He's the host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast. Also editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and writer for hashtag basketball and Nets Republic. Nick, as always, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Absolutely, Ed. It was a wonderful time as always. Thanks so much for having me back on the program, and we'd be happy to come back on again and talk basketball with you.
Absolutely, and we'll be back with more right after this.
As we approach a minute remaining, Nuggets clinging to a one-point lead. Murray lobs it up top to Jokic, five to shoot. Jokic backs in, drives inside, layup, won't go. Gordon's tip is no good. Strus the rebound. 45 seconds remaining.
This is where you want to look to for one if you can, if you get a good one.
Lowry picked up by Gordon. Murray is on Butler. Jimmy Butler on the drive, gets inside, stops. Stolen by Caldwell Pope. And a foul with 24.7 remaining. Inside to Butler. Gordon guards him. Duncan Robinson looking for it. Caldwell Pope pokes it away. Butler hoists up a three. Off the mark. Brown the rebound. They've got a foul. With 14.3 remaining.
You don't need a three in that situation.
Lowry searching. Looking, looking. Finds Strus back to Lowry. There it is. Three-pointer. Won't go. Rebound Caldwell Pope. They're not going to foul. The Heat will let it play out. It's over. At last, the long wait is over. After 47 years, the Denver Nuggets can finally call themselves NBA champions. There's such joy right now in the Mile High City. The first title in franchise history. Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets win it all.
This is the first Finals MVP trophy that we're giving out since Bill Russell's passing. And he'd be incredibly pleased. It's another center. This year, Bill Russell, Finals MVP, goes to Nikola Jokic.
You know, Adrian said really one really good thing. We are not winning for ourselves. We are winning for the guy next to us, and that's why this is even more, because I was winning for Jamal, Jamal was winning for Adrian. That's how it goes, you know. And this is a great group of people, a great group of teammates. Like I said, from the family Kroenke to the Sparky and Gene, everything this year was amazing. You know, we believe in each other, the relationship that we had. Yes, trophies and something, but I think we had some relationship that is going to be long, even after me finish careers.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Nick Agar-Johnson, host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, and editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and writer for Hashtag Basketball, and that's Republic. Thanks again to Nick for coming on the program as we recap the 2023 Denver Nuggets NBA Finals run. Also discuss Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, what's next for the Nuggets, and so much more. And until next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.